So this is number 12 in the series, and this is what might be a regular QRR for 220, 230, 240, 230, 220, come up and down. So, ready. Whether the Secretary of State was entitled to come to the conclusion that action was only necessary in relation to non-national suspected terrorists who could not be deported is an issue on which it is impossible for this court in this case to differ from the Secretary of State. Decisions as to what is required in the interest of national security are self-evidently within the category of decisions in relation to which the court is required to show considerable deference to the Secretary of State because he is better qualified to make an assessment as to what action is called for. If authority is required for this proposition, then it is provided in the cases cited below. However, as the ECHR pointed out, the court retains its supervisory role. In addition, it is wrong to suggest, as this submission does, that it is on the choice of immigration control that the Secretary of State's case is based. His case is based on his decision that, in order to meet the present situation, he need only take action against suspected terrorists who have no right to remain in this country but cannot be deported. I turn to the second core submission that Part 4 of the 2001 Act is both over-inclusive and under-inclusive. The over-inclusive contention arises because the terrorist activities to which Part 4 of the 2001 Act applies go beyond those required by the emergency in relation to which the derogation was made. This is an issue on which one counsel has provided additional written submissions, which I found helpful. I accept that on the language of Part 4 it is over-inclusive. But in practice, that is not a point of substance. Lord Goldsmith gave SIAC on behalf of the government an undertaking that Part 4 would only be used for the emergency which was the subject of the derogation. I agree with Mr. Manjit Gill that the court should not allow an undertaking on behalf of the government ameliorating the potential effect of the legislation to shift the concept of legal certainty and rights away from the solid bedrock to sandy foundations. However, here the powers contained in Part 4 could only be used to the extent that they were covered by the order. Otherwise, they would fall foul of Article 5. The Secretary of State is required to give reasons for his decision, and those reasons can be inquired into by SIAC, and there is no risk of anyone being prejudiced by Lord Goldsmith's undertaking not being complied with. This was the view of SIAC, who also referred to Section 3 HRA, which could be used, if necessary, to restrict the use of Part 4. However, I do not consider this would be necessary because of the other reasons I have given. As to under-inclusion, it is necessary to consider at least two candidates. First, there are the suspected terrorists who are nationals. Then there are the suspected terrorists who are not nationals, who once they leave the country will be free to engage in activities hostile to this country. The person who has made a statement on behalf of the Secretary of State covering this point contends that irrespective of whether non-national suspect terrorists are detained or leave this country, the terrorist organisation in the UK will be disrupted. He also relies on the fact that the detention or deporting of non-national suspected terrorists will indicate that this country is not a safe haven for terrorists. Placing on one side the issue of discrimination, these are points which depend on the evidence before SIAC and do not call for resolution on this appeal. The third, fourth and fifth core submissions cover very much the same ground, so are covered by what I have already stated. The exception is Mr. Emerson's submissions about the Secretary of State for Home Department case. That case is important for the clear statements contained in the speeches of the House of Lords as to the deference which should be extended to the executive on matters of national security. It is also important because it recognises that conduct which is directed at a foreign state can have direct implications for the national security of this country. The extent of the threat required as a precondition to derogation is more extensive than that required by the interests of national security. It is a public emergency threatening the life of the nation. It is the broader formulation of national security which was considered in Riemann. Despite the same general approach, it is clearly appropriate. Where international terrorists are operating globally and committing acts designed to terrorize the population in one country, that can have implications which threaten the life of another. This is why a collective approach to international terrorism is important. As the order recognises, we are concerned here with a threat identified by the United Nations Security Council as a threat to international peace and security, a threat which required all states to take measures to prevent the commission of terrorist attacks, including by denying safe haven to those who finance, plan, support or commit terrorist attacks. While the courts must carefully scrutinise the explanations given by the executive for its actions, the court must extend the appropriate degree of deference when it comes to judging those actions. The remaining core submissions, while in part also covering the same ground as the earlier submissions, go to what is the main issue, namely discrimination. Was the UK government entitled to single out non-nationals who could not be deported in the foreseeable future, as to the subject of the order and the 2001 Act? Here I differ from SIAC largely because of the tension between Article 15 and Article 14. Article 15 restricts the extent of the derogation to what is strictly necessary. That is what the Secretary of State has done on his evidence. Of course, he did so for national security reasons. No doubt by taking action against nationals as well as non-nationals, the action from a security point of view would have been more effective. Now, I'm not sure if I gave the name of Rehman, R-E-H-M-A-N, as a preview word. If I didn't, I'm sorry. I tried to take out all the names and just put some odd wording in so that you weren't bothered by names. But that one may have slipped in.